Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Scottish Watches podcast. It's a sunny day.
Not where
Scotland,
I am.
There is now, isn't it? It's really sunny here. And the days are now officially long days. So it's sunlight from about 4:30 in the morning to about 10:30 at night. You can see. So that's the one advantage of living in this part of the world.
10:30 at night?
It's really... 10:30 at night. When you lot are all tucked up in your beddy byes, we're still out here in the Scottish sunshine. Yep. You may have heard some voices there, and those voices may have sounded distinctly English to you.
I know.
We have allowed a couple of infiltrated English people. And not only English, and I'm going to say this and then get immediately shouted at, not only English, but Brummies.
No.
You're not having, you draw the line at that, do you?
Yeah.
Yam yams, but not Brummies.
You're yammed, yes. Yeah. So are you Wolverhampton fans?
I definitely am.
I can take it or leave it. I hope they do well, but I'm not really that bothered about football, if I'm honest.
Not that bothered. Well, seeing as you've already sort of said hello to everybody, you better introduce yourself. So who have we got here?
I'm Andy Seeley. I'm one of the co-owners of Malls. Quite a few people in the Scottish group, watch group, would have seen me posting various posts up and down about and commenting on, just making my presence known.
Your presence felt. Well. Go on then.
Yeah. And I'm the other Seeley, Mark. And I tend to let my brother do all that shouting and get heckled, and I sit in the background and just advise gently.
You're the brains of the operation?
I wouldn't say I'm the brains. I would say I'm just that person that's in the background keeping him honest.
Perfect. You know,
Andy likes to be that public.
Is there a third Seeley then that actually does all the work?
No. All the work is done here. We're here. Right. There is a third Seeley, which is our sister, but she's not interested in watches.
Right. Good.
So she's a Rolex girl.
No. She is interested in watches to a degree. She's quite happy to poke her nose in every so often when we ask her a question, but she's not an active member of the whole watch empire.
Empire. Yeah. Absolutely. So your watch brand is Malls. So first question.
No first question, from? Rick. I'm going to introduce the guys properly.
No, right. Don't do that.
Got to add in a little bit of exposition. Tell people where they came from, how I met them. You know, there's a whole origin story here. So
you crossed the border and me sent them home to think again.
Listen, enough of that, right? Well, there's going to be no Flower of Scotland singing on this show. So okay. I met these guys.
There will be.
No, there will not be, because I do the editing. So I met these two guys, it must have been just 6 to 8 months ago. I think it was October last year. Me and Gordy went down to a couple of watch shows in England. One of them was a Watch It Fair, run by Joshua Flagg. And there was a whole host of independents, smaller and micro brands there from across the UK and possibly even a little bit further. And I had to go around every single table to see what everybody was up to. And I get a brief chance to speak to you guys, but your table always seemed to be very busy. So I had to look at the watches, briefly said hello to you, and then when I came around later on to do the mini interviews that we put in an episode, I think you were either mobbed or you weren't there, you were away getting some food. So of the brands that were there, I didn't get a chance to properly speak to you. So now we do. And also the reason for speaking to you guys this week is Andy put a post on his Facebook last week there, and it's one of the only posts that I have seen in the last 3 weeks about current affairs and matters that are going on in the world that actually resonated and made any sense to me. Everything else seems to be a little bit obscure and hard to get your head around. Andy's post was absolutely spot on, and I thought, let's kill two birds with one stone. Let's get you on here and your brother, talk about watches and see where we'll end up. So Rick, do you want to take it from there?
Okay, where on earth the Miles as a name come from?
It's our names.
Yeah, it's actually our names. We amalgamated our names. We're both double-barreled, so I'm a Mark Anthony and he's an Andrew Lee. Yeah. And so just took
right, because I was going to say there's not an L in Andy or Mark.
No.
Well, yeah, so if you go by our full names, I'm Mark Anthony and he's Andrew Lee.
So there you got the seal and then you got Seeley. If you look at the logo is the two silhouettes. And if you look, the one at the front is actually me because I'm smaller than Bruno. They are actually our silhouettes in the logo.
Are they really?
Yeah, which is true.
And we should mention, when you mentioned Bruno, That's somebody on this call.
That's me.
Just yes, to confuse so things even more.
For everybody listening at home, so let me just get caught up for everybody listening at home. Mark is actually Mark Anthony. Andy is actually Andy Lee, but one of them's called Bruno.
Yes.
It's dead simple. It's a nickname. It was not long after the first Frank Bruno fight with Joe Bugner. I was called Bruno from then on.
So now, the strange thing is, the logo you've got, that's actually what Ricky looks like in real life.
Is it?
Especially the one on the silver. In fact, it's really like the one on the black background is you guys, and the one on the silver black background is the two Scottish guys. So we're the Peely Wally ones. There we go.
Fair enough.
But he's as bald as a coot as well. So
just the way your wife likes it.
Where on earth did you get the idea from to start a watch brand? Have you got a background in engineering, design?
I think it really starts with me. Before my brother was born, we used to live in, well, actually he was there, but he wasn't. As a kid, we grew up in a block of flats, and my parents went off to do work, and they left me with a neighbour who, for the life of me, I have no idea what his real name was. But I just called him Mr. Manny, and his profession was a watchmaker.
Oh,
all right.
So
okay.
I used to be left with this man upstairs for several hours a day, and he tinkered and fixed watches every single day of his life, and he showed me a bunch of stuff, and I kind of got hooked from there.
This is like some sort of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs or something.
Not quite. Not quite that extreme.
You were left with a watchmaker.
No, not that extreme. You know, it was kind of a case of go and spend your time up there, and when you're ready, go across to our cousin across the road, and then come back when you're ready and make sure you're home by six, and that's it. That sort of thing. But just don't sit in the house and bother us, because we won't be here. We want to make sure that, well, they won't there, but just be somewhere where there's adults. So that, you know, I spent most of my time with Mr. Manny and another next door neighbor. My brother came along a bit later, and I think he spent a little bit of time with Mr. Manny, but not enough for him to probably remember before he passed away.
I don't remember him at all, if I'm honest. But my journey in watches started when Bruno came back from Japan with some really crazy Tokyo Flash watches. I was like, they're weird. I like them. And that was it for me. I was like, Tokyo Flash? You can't get them in the UK. You couldn't get them in the UK.
I don't even know what that is.
Andy can explain.
Tokyo Flash are probably the most random and out there, hard to read digital watches I've ever come across. They're insane, but they're brilliant. Every design is original. They have an instruction book for each watch, just to tell you how to read the time.
It's kind of like reading the time using the game Tetris.
Pretty much. But there is actually
sort of thing.
But there is actually a Tetris.
There's varieties of them, but it's that sort of idea.
There is actually a Tetris watch which they made, which I've seen out. I've seen it online, but I've never actually had it in my hands. And the counters do drop down like little Tetris blocks. But it's that kind of craziness. I was like, that's really cool. So that's what sparked my interest in watches, and then I moved on to Storm watches and things like that.
Cool. And some of them are like, but do the Tokyo, I think they do like binary ones as well, readouts.
They do, yes.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, most people are pretty cool. Over here in the, in Europe, United Kingdom, whatever you want to call it, would probably have come across something like them with Storm. Yeah, well, Scotland, England, Wales, United Kingdom.
For now.
I prefer it that way. That's just me. Everyone unite. But yeah, the closest thing you've ever come across to it is going to be Storm watches, because Storm really took that out there, but then not muted it, but
made it more European and less insane, but more, I don't know. They toned it down a little.
That's the one. Toned it down.
They toned it down a little. But see, when I first moved away from home when I was 18, I started going into Storm watches. So I bought. Because Storm used to do these really rare collection limited pieces. Because they had their time. I don't know what happened to them now. They've kind of dropped off the radar and gone more fashionly. But for a time, they used to do like one of 100 or one of 500. a one of a thousand, and that was it of a design. And I remember having, I had two Stormwatches. I had a one of 500 and a one of 100 as well. And I was just, they were amazing. Just, they had over, the one of 100 was a rectangle with an oversized crown, an oversized Perspex glass block on top, and it would, so if you looked at it from the side, it would magnify the dial so you could see it. And it was just, it was, someone just sat there and went, you know what, I can, I've got loads of shapes, let's put them together onto a watch to see what happens. It was, it's that kind of nuttiness, and I loved it. So yeah, that's right. That,
have you heard of Hublo?
Who?
Just checking.
Hublot.
Yeah,
Hublot.
Hublot. Yeah.
It's a Scottish, it's a Scottish accent. I just didn't get you.
Did you just get straight into this? You go to school, go to college, get straight into watches? What else did you do before that? Or has this just been your labour of love since you needed to start earning money?
Oh no, this is a recent thing. Long story short, for me anyway, I do marketing, so I'm the guy that walks, talks, and breathes communications, and writes posts, and you know, makes things look good on your website, and all those kind of I'm the kind of guy that makes you want to buy stuff. So when you see that Tudor that comes out with that press release and the photos, that's someone like me that's just gone and written that and taken those photos so that now you want it.
Now, there's a good segue, Rick, isn't it?
Yes, let's talk about Tudor.
So who was it that sent you this dodgy picture that you put on Instagram?
Well, that picture is a couple of years old.
Right.
So the picture, as I understand it, is from a forum.
Okay.
From a wee while ago. But it's the closest thing to what the person, who is now about four different people, because three others have come forward and said, yeah, this is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's the closest that they can see to what they've been told it is. And this is a fully blue, some are saying it'll be a sunburst style, Black Bay 58 from Tudor.
Right.
And this will be launched on the 1st of July. There is also some chat that there might be a chronograph, though a very good contact in the States tells me that this will be Tudor's one and only release this year, and it will be a blue Black Bay 58. If it looks anything like the render on our post on Instagram, then I expect it will sell like hotcakes. As far as I'm aware, two people that have contacted me since we posted it have said that they are, if you like, premium customers of Tudor,
mm-hmm.
and have already been tapped up by their Tudor ADs,
right,
to reserve these. So as far as I'm concerned, this is as close to 100% happening as actually waiting for it to happen. I'm pretty convinced that this is not a jest and not just an attempt for us to get 10,000 followers on Instagram.
No, that's going to happen. But I know that, like, online you can go to betting websites and place bets on the odds of things happening. Can we do that with watch releases?
Here's a thought. You wonder if...
William Hill, whatnot.
Big on bookmakers. Could you go to... some of these online marketplaces must take some really weird bets.
There's an idea.
Bet that your son's going to play for England or something as a captain.
Mm-hmm.
You could.
I suppose
so.
You could
make a bet that Tudor are releasing a Black Bay
in that colour. Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea.
If somebody wants to try that and just cut us in.
Yep, 20%, please. Yeah. That'll do.
Tell you what, you that's our handling fee. You guys do it first, and then let us know how it goes.
That's usually what I say to Rick. Now, to explain what this thing looks like for anybody that isn't a follower and isn't one of the nearly 10,000, it looks to me a little... I don't know if you've ever seen the Rolex GMT Blueberry.
Yeah, I think I have.
The Smurf. I would call it the Smurf. No,
no, that's the sub, the GMT I'm talking about.
Oh, you mean the one that may or may not actually exist?
Yes. That's right, kind of okay, what it reminds me of a little bit, because if it's coming out, it's going to have an aluminium bezel, probably.
Yeah.
So that's what it reminds me of.
It does look good.
Yeah.
It does look good. It'll be a cracking watch. I imagine it'll come in, what are the Black Bay 58s, about £2,600, something like that?
Yeah.
So they'll come in, but I imagine there'll be a long queue, and the flippers of the world will be able to unite over flipping something for a change from Tudor.
I imagine it's going to be expensive. Because it's every, blue watches seem to be the in thing at the moment, and COVID-19, all that kind of weird, wonderful world that we're living in, people are starved of really cool stuff. So I can see it going for a premium over 2,600.
Right. Well, you guys are obviously down in Englandshire, and your shops are open.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ours or not. So what's it been like down there over the last few days?
I have no idea. I live in the middle of the countryside. There's nothing here.
I personally have not bothered going, even venturing anywhere near any of the main shopping areas, just because, well, one, I'm lazy, and I don't really need, I don't understand why anyone does, but I don't need to buy new clothes right now. So I don't understand why there's queues outside Primark, and I don't even understand why people were queuing to get into Selfridges in the middle of Birmingham. It's, well, yeah, okay, but
I can see,
do you really need that £90 pair of Armani jeans that you had to go and queue for them? You couldn't have ordered them online and had them delivered.
Maybe it's just the experience that people have missed out on because nothing has been open. Cinemas, restaurants, pubs, clubs, and now that shops are open, it's the first sign of normality they've seen in a quarter of a year.
No, I think it's Darwin's law. I think this is a Darwin's law scenario,
right,
whereby those that venture out first are the next in line for, you know,
some COVID Darwin's action.
Law, some COVID action. So nice. I'm staying inside.
Okay,
Ricky, I do, however, need you to go and get me some shopping if you wouldn't mind.
Need new tenors. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Good.
You two are funny. I've listened to a few of your podcasts, and it's
all of them.
You've listened to them all, obviously.
In order,
and made notes.
I've listened to a few of your podcasts, and it's always like the banter is just as obvious, but then it's different when you're actually sitting here on it. It's like, this is hilarious. This is funny.
I'm glad we'll be cut out as well. When then did you produce your first watch?
Design. Me and Bruno did the design. We started the company in 2018. It was really we did the website and everything, and launched our first watch by June 2018. So we did the whole thing in 6 months. Really, really push.
Yeah. And then delivered
in January 2019.
Right, okay, cool. And so is this then now your full-time gig?
No.
What's your side hustles?
Not for me.
Mm-hmm.
I am a not hardcore, but I would say I am 100% a computer programmer.
All right, okay.
That conversation could have gone anywhere, really, couldn't it?
That could have gone downhill really quickly. I was waiting for Ricky to jump in there.
I was looking for your OnlyFans details.
Literally, I'm a computer programmer by trade, so I have some engineering background, software engineering background, a lot of development background. So I literally do, computers. Anything you need, I can do it pretty much. So that's my day job. And it was basically me walking through the cafe at the custard factory in Birmingham, talking to my brother, going, "I want to make a custom watch." And he went, "Well, why don't you just shut up and do it?" And I went, "Oh, that's really helpful." And he was like, "Well, God." And then basically Andy went off, spoke to a couple of people and went, "Yeah, we can make one."
Okay,
and
okay.
By the end of that week, it became, you know what, we can make a lot of these and turn it into a company.
Then 4 weeks later, I came back to you and went, "What do you think of this basic design?" And you went, "Don't like it." That was the end of that.
Don't like it. What I want to do is this. So we did, our first watch is my love of jump out. Well, our love of jump hours, because those are the kind of watches I used to see a lot of in the early 70s and stuff, especially on our dad. Uh-huh. And other people around me. So I was like, "We have to make a jump hour." And he's like, okay. And Andy loves jump hours. And we went looking and trying to figure it out and went, "These are really damn expensive to make, aren't they?" They are really damn expensive
to make. That's why everybody makes a sub homage as their first watch.
Yeah, so...
We're not like that.
No, you're not.
No, we're not like that. So our first watch is a homage to jump hours.
We've gone completely left field.
Yeah,
a homage to jump hours. It's fun.
And so this is the Miles Jump Over the Moon.
That's right.
Watch.
Yep.
Yes.
It's
and there's a steel and a black steel. Is the black steel, what is it? Is it DLC code? What's the code?
Yeah, thing? DLC. DLC on DLC on top of 316, on top of stainless steel.
So. On top of 316. Yeah. Cool. Good old. And so, what on earth made you think that this was a good idea? Like, I mean, does this not take up, I mean, how much more time does this take than it should? Be honest, boys. How much more time are you spending on this than you know is reasonable to be spending on this?
Me, to personally?
Honest, okay. Let Andy go.
For me, probably far too much. I mean, like, it's getting to the point where you know you're thinking, if I was actually getting paid per day or per hour for this, I'd be really minted. And I'm not getting paid at all. So, it's to the point where I know it's kind of like, right, okay, I have to make something of this, or because it can't be just a hobby. It's an expensive game. It's a very expensive game.
Yeah. And because it's an expensive game, I've taken on more contracts than I could probably deal with IT wise to help fund our expensive look into what we like.
Yeah.
Because at the moment we have done stuff that we like, what we wanted to see out there. And
some people bought it.
Some people haven't, and that's fine. You know, not everyone has to have our mentality, but I hope that everyone sees our sense of fun in what we've done. Because, you walk into one of the things that I remember speaking to my brother about when back in 2018 is you walk into what was then Debenhams, but no longer is.
Right.
And you walk it through and you see all the Scargoons that look pretty much the same. Yeah, you don't tend to see some things that are a little bit different. Well, different.
People play it safe.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, that's why I would say, and even when we were at the watch fair, a lot of people were the same. It divided everyone there when they saw the jump over the moon. They're like, well, why bother? And it's like, well, why not?
Yeah.
It's another way of telling the time. It's a way of telling the time that many people have forgotten even existed. I mean, me and Andy did spend a lot of time talking history and getting old watches out of a box and showing people what they used to look like in the 70s and the 60s and even to the 40s, where some of the, jump hours originally came from, French ones.
Right. And what sort of movements are you using for that then? Because it's not a sort of basic off-the-shelf ETA.
We're using a Miyota 6 series movements. It's a 6 series quartz. And instead of having the two hands and the stalk driving the hands, we've got custom discs. And it's pushing a mini disc at the top, an hour disc in the middle, and then the moon phase at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And with a slight change to torque, because obviously discs are much shorter than the hands, so there's a little bit of change within internally to compensate for that.
We've got a little bit more strength added into it as well to turn the big disc at the bottom for the... Because normally it just turns the one disc in a couple of hands. Like Andy said, you needed a bit more torque, a bit more strength in the actual
So who do you spindle. Go to actually get something like that done?
An OEM.
Like, who do you take their movements to? Or are you just sitting there with a spanner sorting out
and some nitrous?
Well, initially I sat there with a spanner and some nitrous and went, can I do this? and burnt my fingers. Andy, he hunted down people who are way better at engineering than I can be at my desk at home, and they did it for us. They showed us engineering drawings and went, well, you can't do that because that's more expensive, and you can't do that because this, and then we talked about it, and that's what they got us. Cool. That's where they got us to.
So, the ultimate goal, because the jump out, this one, is a quartz one. The first one's a quartz watch. Yeah. But the idea was always to make an actual proper full-on jump hour. Now, Isotope, they have a jump hour, but it's really quite thick. And because they're normally modules and built on top of a movement. And that's probably the route where we will have to go down. But the goal is to get, is to have a jump hour in the same size case as our current jump over the moon, which is going to be really hard, to be fair. I mean, I found a couple of people that have said, yes, we can start looking at developing your movement, but the costs are prohibitive, shall we say. I mean, we're talking about 15K, 10-15K just to start looking at this before they even develop it and say, yeah, that works. or doesn't work.
So is that the ambition then, is to, I mean, this sounds a bit like Nick's story at Fears, that he started off making quartz watches in order to get the experience, get the contacts, get, you know, everything lined up with something that he knows isn't going to come back needing service and fix and repaired, and then has developed further into mechanical watches such that he's now done away or is doing away with his quartz range. Is that kind of the path you guys want to be on, which is just advancing into more and more complicated and getting into manual winds and automatics?
For me, I'm open to whatever. I mean, if it's really complicated and the dial looks cool, then I'm happy. If that makes it has to be a quartz movement or a mega quartz or a mechanical movement, then that's fine. I'm leaning more towards autos and hand wound, admittedly.
Yeah, same here. I'm leaning more toward autos for everything that we've got. But yeah. Yeah, we've been tinkering with things recently that we like the look of and going, well, actually, if we want it to be this, 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 and this, let's just go quartz because it does work.
It's an interesting debate. I mean, I'm a big fan of jump power and wandering hands complications. If what you care about is what it looks like and is it reliable and how much hassle is it to actually make, there's not a very good argument to say, why would you ever move away from quartz?
Because
you look at Breitling and things like that, and you know they still do quartz. They're several thousand pounds for their mega quartz, but it's still a quartz watch that someone has to go and put a battery in. I think it's every year, if you buy a Breitling, you get it serviced every year, and it's like £400 to serve it to put a new battery in.
Really? Well, wow.
Yeah, something like that. I've got a couple of friends who went that way and brought them and went, oh, I can't believe how much it costs to look after this thing. It's only a quartz watch. And you're like, well, it's not just any quartz, but I see where you're coming from. And if you're in that mindset that you're willing to spend lots and lots of money on a Breitling, even though it's a quartz, then there's no problem with the quartz movement.
Our pal Adrian over at Bark and Jack put a video out on his YouTube channel just about a week ago there. He had bought one of the limited edition Grand Seiko GMTs, which uses a quartz movement, and he was going on about how reliable it is, the way it works, and there's a hell of a lot of technology that goes in there, and people shouldn't be very much automatic, manual wind, mechanical versus quartz, because there's a place for everything. Then he sold the watch, funnily enough, but hey. It goes to show that, you know, I think everybody goes through a little bit of a transition as well when they get into watches. They just get a quartz shitter, and then they maybe get a decent one and they get interested and they poo-poo the whole quartz idea. But then they start to maybe go back the way that we've done. We've obviously been playing with G-Shocks. I've got a Q-Timex and a few other bits and bobs as well. And Swatch watches.
Oh, I love Swatch watches. They're cool.
Yeah.
And what kind of watch collecting journey have you both gone on yourself?
Go on, Bruno. You, this one's all you.
Who's got the more
expensive taste?
Him.
I've not got the most expensive taste. Yes, I've just been lucky with some of my purchases.
You have the more expensive taste. Just say you have the most expensive taste. Compared to my collection, my God.
No. My taste kind of varies. I have, well, not kind of varies. It's very odd, to the point where I have a 1979 Peanuts watch. You know, I've got a Mickey Mouse watch, all the way up to I've got an Oris Date Crown, Sigourney Weaver's Seiko from Aliens,
the Shishiro ones.
Yeah, so you know, I've got all sorts in between. I've got a Skagen. There's a Mundane in there. There's
Damas.
There's the Damas Jump Power. There's can't remember the other one. There's two Damases. I've got one that's silver and white and one that's silver and pink that doesn't work, that I really would like to fix, but no one wants to mess with it. They're all like, this mechanism is just, yeah, you need lots of bits and pieces. The custom, it's going to cost you a fortune. I've got ancient Lip from 1970-something.
Right.
another Oresis from the 60s. I've got lots of random things.
Well, I have some questions then. For people that maybe have had the thought in their heads that it sounds like a good idea to start your own watch company or even just create your own first microbrand watch and release it, what would you say the pitfalls would be for somebody like that? Because you've lived this, you haven't just come up with the idea and are thinking about it. You've actually gone to the watch shows, you've produced watches, you're selling them, you're putting up posts in it, on obviously in our Facebook group and whatnot. So what are the pitfalls that you guys maybe didn't see that new people getting into this industry might try to avoid?
I've got this one. Time. People underestimated how much actual time and effort you've really got to put in, because it's not a, here, I've made a watch, I've done a design. No. It's... You do an initial design and then that design gets scrapped and you do it again, and then it's finding that the design doesn't quite fit the movement, and then you've got to find your suppliers, do your website, make sure your website works, your SEO, your social media posts, getting into the watch groups, and on and on and on and on. It just takes a lot of time. And if you're thinking it's going to be a quick fix to make some money,
Not at all. All that time that Andy puts into doing that stuff and keeping us in people's view, you know, I do the time in the background to keep us just ticking over. And the amount of time that it takes to actually, unless you've got a big pot of money and the time, because it's one of the things, no offense to all the other people that we've ever met, but, you know, we found that we were talking to other brands that had people with full engineering backgrounds, and there was four or five of them, and they got backing from another company, or they've gone and managed to get £100,000 loans from the bank. And, you know, whereas me and Andy started off with the £325 that was in my pocket at the time. And I think it was a little bit more than that, maybe. And then actually, £325 in my pocket. I think Andy had like 406.
Something stupid. And just a little over 100.
Yeah.
We didn't.
So does that mean that he owns more of the company than you?
Hell no.
Nah.
It's just hell to the no.
It was just the timing. I paid some bills and he wanted cash, and I was like, really? Right now? Can't you wait till next week?
So it's like between us, we had less than £1,000 to start this whole journey off, and from £1,000. From less than £1,000, to be specific, I find it really cool. This is a new one for you, Bruno. You're going to find out on this podcast. We now have customers in South Korea.
Woohoo!
We now have We've sold our first three watches in South Korea. People in Dubai and Abu Dhabi, who I have no clue how to pronounce their names, literally have bought sets of our watches, the black and the silver. I'm like, from £1,000, we are now in UK, US, Norway, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, Austria, South Korea,
Brazil.
Japan. There, it's like
America.
I love the fact that from £1,000 and a little bit and a lot of time quite a lot of passion that but people across the planet have got a little piece of our imagination, our creativity, and I love that.
And so, what do you find most satisfying about the whole thing? The actual getting excited about designing something, the seeing it for the first time in the flesh, or the getting it into somebody's hands for the first time and making the sale?
I think I'll answer that one first. I just want to get this one thing out. It's for me, originally, it was about the first prototype. The minute the prototype came into my hand, I was like, oh yeah, we could just stop now. We don't need to do anything else. You know, I've got my watch. Forget everyone else. One of one. But when we did the watch fair last year, all credit to the guys that set up the watch fair, we sold the watch to a kid. And
he was 15.
The look on his face, you know, he dragged his mom and dad round, and he came back to our store two, three times. And his mom and dad, his dad was there going, yeah, but what do you want one of those for? I can get you an Oris quite easily. That's what I think you should have as your very first watch. And he just stood there staring at the black watch going, I want that one.
Yeah, and the Christopher Ward was across us. We were in a really weird position because Christopher Ward was literally across from us. It's like, yeah, we don't stand a chance. It's Christopher Ward. Come on. They are literally the opposite side of us. And Hampton was next to them. It's like, come on.
Christopher Ward saw the little boy buy the watch off of you rather than off of him and thought, stuff this for a game of soldiers, I'm off.
Yeah. Maybe he quit.
But when you're seeing like those two really well-known brands and then there's us across there, this is our first watch fair, we're like, yeah, maybe somebody will talk to us. And then we've got our stand is stuffed and this teenager whose dad was said, you can have any, pretty much, they were there, you could have anything you liked, came back and his only purchase of the entire day was from us. And we're like, you know what, that's kind of cool.
So how did you get in touch with the guys at the show then? How did you end up going to that?
I was trying to contact, I was trying to blag Josh to review the Jump Over the Moon.
Ah.
That was literally it. And because I've seen him on the various forums and he lives in Rugby, and which is about half an hour, 40 minutes from where I live.
We should tell folk what fair this is. This was the Watch It All About
fair. I did earlier, Rick. You were asleep.
Did you? Oh, yeah. Okay, then.
And what Josh said was, if you don't come at my show, I'm going to tell everyone your watch is shit.
Well, Josh said, come to the show. And we can have a conversation. And he still has. He's still never reviewed the watch yet, which is not a problem. But
hey, that's my trick. I'll not have somebody, some boy stealing my intellectual property. That's my job, to borrow watches and never.
Rick does 10-year reviews. 10 years on the wrist.
10 years in the wrist, buried with it.
So let's
briefly deal with the big elephant in the room. So the Swiss watch and the watch industry, as we all know, has some, you know, potential flaws in it. So tell us, what has it been like being English in the Swiss watch industry?
How about let's go even further? What is it like being literally the only black brand in Europe?
Indeed. Is that right? We were asked by somebody if we knew of any brands that were black owned. We knew you guys. We couldn't think of anybody else. Certainly not in the micro brand world. So is that right? You can't think of anybody else either.
I've tried.
No, we had a hunt, a mini hunt, and couldn't find any.
We're the only black owned micro brand that we know of. I mean, maybe we'll find out. We'll be told, hey, look, I'm one too. But as of all the forums I've been on, Watch You Seek, and on obviously Scottish Watches, and all the other ones on Facebook, and nobody. We're literally we're the only ones in the village, which is weird.
there's a United Kingdom cultural reference TV show.
Yeah, that's
you can go.
You can't. I don't think you can watch that anymore, can you?
Yeah, you can't watch it anymore. They've taken it down.
You probably can't.
They've taken it down.
Anyway, yes.
Was that too close?
No.
Not at all.
It's okay if you say it. We're not allowed to.
Anyway, so, well, tell us, has it made a difference? Have you encountered, what issues have there been?
The watch, because I'm more the person being seen than Bruno is, admittedly. And I've not seen or had any issues in the watch industry, I must admit. I mean, they've... if you don't like our design, then fine. You don't like our design because that's subjective. But I've had no problems with anyone because of my colour of my skin, which is great as far as I'm concerned. I mean, which is amazing. I mean, I've used to work for a Swiss company and I've been over to Switzerland several times. And as long as everyone has been. Genuinely, if you have an interest in watches and you like talking watches, we don't care what you could be pink and polka dots. We really don't care. And
it's sunny in Scotland. By the end of the day, we will be pink and polka dots.
Yeah, it's or red and tanned. I've not seen that. I have seen there are groups where you can actually sell your watches, to other black people. And there are, and which we're debating about joining and, you know, going forward in that way. And we get a lot of, we get quite a bit of interest from people wanting to try and sell or be in partnerships and collaborations with African companies.
Right.
By the way, our background is Caribbean, not African. So, and we get a lot of people saying, can you join us and be in collaboration to start selling your watches or do designs with our African partners? And I see those and I'm thinking, I get it, because we're the only black people you could probably find in the watch market, and we're the most visible. But I don't like it when the last few offers I've had have been from people that A, aren't black, and B, aren't African. I'm like, you've literally just said, oh, two black people, they can get us into that market. It's like, nah, that really doesn't really doesn't work that way. Because I don't like that. But that's not come from within the watch industry. That's come from like within advertising and people like those kind of areas. But the watch industry
trying to take advantage of it.
Yeah, they're going, oh, it's topical at the moment.
Yeah.
Maybe if you get a couple of black people on our roster, we can make us look like we're really good. It's like
make some more money.
Yeah, and for me, I'm just like, I can't be arsed with that. It's just if you want to work with us and be genuine, then work with us. If you don't, and you just try to make a quick buck, yeah, okay, I get it, but no. I'd rather do this the long and hard way, getting to know people and get in the forums. And come on, we went to that watch fair in Rugby 9 months ago, 10 months ago, whatever it was. And we're commenting on Facebook posts, but we've never actually really sat and spoken until like now. And it's a long burn to get to know people. But I'd rather do that than get in with some advertising company that just wants to splash the cash and get in, get out quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if an advertiser, don't get us wrong, we'd love to have that sort of cash and do what we'd like. Yeah, that money would help us greatly. You know, we could get paid. We could get paid for the start of cover a mountain of debts. But it's a short-term goal for your soul. Type thing, you know, you've done it and then you stand there and go, right, everything's paid, we've got this, we've got that. How do you actually feel about what you've just done?
Not great.
Some people can live with themselves, some people can't, and I would put me and my brother very much in the no, we know it's painful, we live day to day, and we know that, you know, all it takes is for us to, you know, the whole COVID-19 thing, we at the beginning of it, we sat there. Well, we sat there at our respective houses, and Andy gave me a call and I went, are you sure we should even bother trying this year?
Oh,
just, you know, let's just shut up shop and call in the bank, call in the administrators and just whatever you want to do and come back in 2 or 3 years' time. Because if we don't do anything this year, how do we, at the very bottom of the market, how do we expect anyone else to go out and spend cash on us? So,
and how have you found it? Because, I mean, various companies have reported different things during COVID, especially because people are sitting there surfing the internet and obviously your watches are available online. Have you found a particular bump at any stage, or has it just been generally quiet as most people are experiencing?
I'm the one that keeps track of the most sales, but we've actually had, ironically, we've had a better sales period throughout the whole lockdown than we have for a long time. It's like, it's like, why? And it wasn't through advertising or whatever. The only thing which we did promotion-ish wise was set up a watch raffle to raise money for my local NHS, because we're a Warwickshire-based company, even though we live two different places. So we said, okay, we wanted to raise money for our local hospital. And I went to Ivan Ennis, from Iconic, Derek Love of EMG Watches, and there's several other people, that E-Guard, Gravathin, a few other people, and then we all put together and sort of wrote, they all donated their watches for free. I haven't paid for anything. And we obviously donated. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay, let's do a watch raffle. 10 quid for tickets. And you get to win a watch. You could win a watch. And that's mm-hmm. that's literally the only advertising we've done across the whole of, well, for the last few months. And it's been yeah. focusing on raising money. We raised nearly 1,200 quid, fine, which is great because it goes to the hospital, it goes to the doctors and nurses. They can buy whatever they want with it. They have food, med equipment, whatever. Good. And through that whole period, I was getting emails from people going, oh, it's a really good thing you've really done. Well, I'm really proud to support the NHS. Great that it's a British company that's doing something for the NHS. It's really impressive that you pulled all these companies from around the world to literally, they're not even in the UK, but they're still yeah. giving something towards it. And I think the general goodwill of people of like, you supported the NHS, so we want to support you. And we had a sales bump from it. And it's not because I was asking for more sales. We didn't, most of the advertising doesn't even mention us. Mm-hmm.
It mentions multiple brands. It just doesn't mention
that. You know what I mean? So it's as if I was really pushing. Miles is doing this. We're doing that. It was just like, but it's really, but yeah. We experienced a sales bump as I think from goodwill from people, which is really cool. And then on the back of that, I started getting emails and posts saying, when are you releasing your next watch? When are you releasing your next watch?
When are you releasing your next watch?
Wow. It's a good thing you should ask. We're releasing it in July. We're aiming for a mid-July date. I'll clarify that later. The problem at the moment which we have is we've got the watches, just had the photography done, which looks absolutely stunning, by the way. Thank you, Anders Thomas. But
was that chicken wrist?
He's done them, yeah. Because
very good.
He's done all our photography in the Kickstarter campaign, because it will go to Kickstarter because we are not made of money. Mm-hmm. We'll go live in mid July, which is scary times, really, because you never know whether it's going to work. I've had. About 40, 50 people so far have already pledged to buy a watch as soon as they're alive, which would be brilliant. But saying you will and actually stumping up cash, especially since the lockdown, two very different things.
What sort of price point will the watch come in at, roughly?
Kickstarter, we're looking at $375.
And is it jump hour quartz again? I'll
go for the whole spec. So it's going to be a 40 mil. There's a blue dial sunburst with a polished steel case with a custom back.
So, what is it? You're basically doing a Tudor Black B 58, yeah?
When you
see the pictures, you'll see the difference.
I'll never say never, but I can't ever see us doing a standard diver. It's just not us. There's going to be four different colorways. So, mm-hmm. blue sunburst dial, polished steel case, black matte dial with black DLC case, white full loom dial and black DLC case, and a experimental rose gold case with black dial. And I do say experimental because it's not full on rose gold, like as in like apple pink. It's more of a bronzy kind of colour. Mm-hmm. And it's lovely. It's really, really nice. But
well, bearing in mind, Oris today have just or yesterday have just released their Holsten bronze. I think this is going to launch at a very opportune time for you.
Yeah, so
because this does look quite reminiscent of that, and it's what do you call that kind of lug structure? That's a welded lug.
It is. It's welded lugs on a modern style case. Wire lugs, actually.
Cool. That's very nice.
So it says
wire lugs. That's the phrase I was looking for.
And then we have everything's powered by a Miyota 9134. So power reserve, 24 hour dial date. So 42 hour power reserve. And then when you flip on the back, mm-hmm. Part of our design language on every single watch, which has our brand on it anyway, we want to do some custom artwork. So Jump Over the Moon has custom artwork of an astronaut jumping over the moon, while in the background, aliens attack Earth. Just because it's fun. And then on this new one, we have the same astronaut. He's made a reappearance. And because the watch is called Giri 24, which means turns 24, because, you know, power reserve turning 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. We have an astronaut who is actually spinning.
That's why they pay you the big marketing bucks.
Oh, dude.
How much do they pay you again?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Exactly.
If you want the full story, it's because we like Italian and we like Alfa Romeos. If you really want the full story.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So like, if you buy an Alfa Romeo.
The breakdown.
Well, they're great cars.
They're great. I've had several.
They look wonderful sitting at
the side of the road.
Absolutely perfect.
Yeah. I've had several of them. I've got a classic Spider and it never goes wrong. The only reason it goes wrong is because I'm lazy looking after it.
Okay.
Mm.
Right.
So the
only reason it goes wrong is because it doesn't work.
No. The reason it goes wrong is because I'm lazy.
Operator error.
Operator error.
Good stuff. No, it's lovely. Lovely watch.
If you look, it'll do well for you. Hopefully, but I mean, the reason. Well, every single thing we design is because it has a little bit of our idiosyncrasies in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've owned an Alfa. My first ever car was an Alfa 156, which is stupid for a first car. Cost me a fortune. Mm-hmm. It shows us horrendous,
mm-hmm.
but I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
It was stupid as a first car, but great fun. But we take a little bit of that into every single of our watches. So on the dials of this one, on the rev counter for all these Alfa Romeos, it says Giri, which translates from Italian to revolutions. So on the power reserve of our new watch, it says Giri, which, because obviously the more you turn the rotor at the back, the more power it gives you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 24-hour dial, which means 24, 24 turns, revolutions 24.
Nice.
That's how you actually come up with a name.
That's quite clever, Rick. We need to employ this dude at some point.
But we've already got jock straps.
Well, this is true.
Jump over the moon was very similar.
Yeah, it was actually.
Maybe we should call the straps for their watches. We should emboss them with wee Scottish flags and call them jock straps.
Well, I was thinking maybe the outline of our faces, like here.
No.
The outline of our faces.
The outline of our faces probably end up looking more like Alfred Hitchcock from Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
Wait.
You should, the whole chin and jaws. You should really do a line of jock straps. That would be really funny.
Well,
it's on the cards.
It's there. Uh-huh. We keep on kidding about it, but we probably should do it. It would be funny for at least 5 minutes.
One of these days. Novelty items for Christmas. But you mentioned, Rick, about another new watch that obviously isn't from these guys, and that is the Oris. Mm-hmm. And that's something we did up on our Instagram page, and that had a good kick as well. That came out yesterday, so that would be Monday the 15th. Mm-hmm. And everybody seems to like it, although there are some questions because it's got it's the first Swiss-made watch with a full bronze bracelet, and folks were asking questions about
what colour's your skin going to be?
Is it going to go green? What's going to happen to it? Is it going to patina? What do you think?
I assume it won't go green.
If it's copper.
They've at least put enough market research into it that it won't leave a green ring around your wrist. It's cool looking though. Do you like it?
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of the Moonshine Gold. Obviously, it's bronze, but it's got a little bit of that Omega look about it. Uh-huh. And the price looked pretty good as well.
Yeah. How big is it?
43.
Because these are really quite big.
I think it's 43.
Yeah, that's quite a lot of bronze to be wearing, to be fair. I mean, it's not going to be a light watch.
Well, my Invicta's about 44, and that's bronze.
I mean, yeah, but it's...
Because they're exactly the same thing, Rick, obviously.
When you say bronze, you mean somebody took one of those bronze pens that you shake or sniff that you get out of the art shop and drew over the plastic case.
Maybe.
This is not going to be a light watch. I don't think anybody actually. It's also limited edition. I did not realise it was limited edition.
Mm-hmm.
250 pieces.
Yeah.
For $5,000.
Mm-hmm. From a company that people actually like.
That's not a bad shout, you know. Mm-hmm. If you were that, I would suspect that at the very least, this will hold a bit of value. Yeah. It's also the first Oris they've done, I think, that's got the bear on it in full view.
Guess who's already got one?
So, oh, no, I'll bet Flo Light's probably got three of them. That's how he earns his money, by flogging them off.
Yeah.
He'll have got them for a discount, and they'll be selling the two extras that he's got, and that's how he'll be funding his next Speedmaster purchase. We all know that's the way it works.
I was speaking to Floatlight the weekend, and he says to me that he's got it coming, and well, he has got it coming, but in other ways. And he was going to come over here yesterday, and he would bring it over, and we could do a video and get it out there so people could get to see it. Guess who I never heard from at all?
that's because Adrian will have intercepted him.
Adrian's got the migraine. He's got the COVID. You know what, we're speaking to Adrian. Did you see what Adrian did? No, I'm just creating a rumour so that people come to us.
All right, okay, that's fine. I see that he managed to drill a hole in his thumb.
Yeah, he was trying to do the whole Jesus Christ thing and miss the palm.
Yeah.
That's kind of wrong.
It's not quite the same.
Is it not?
Okay. It is a big miss.
Okay.
The key thing is not to self-crucify.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't really work that way. That's not the point of the exercise. There you go.
Good old Adrian. But anyway, we're running long, so Rick, do you want to finish up?
First of all, gents, tell us where we can find you on the internet.
You can find us on our website, which is www.maals.co.uk.
I mean, are you not viewing it now that it was a bit of a mistake to put two A's in the name because you spend your life telling people how to spell it?
No, it's good fun. It's good fun.
No, you don't want... I mean, Rolex, something like... Something that sounds a bit more like Rolex.
No, they get to explain.
Easy to spell.
Think about it, because if we took one of the A's out, it'd just be called Mals, and then everyone's like, meh. It's cool when you speak to Americans and they go, oh, you're going to... It's a Mals. It's like, no.
All right, okay. So the name is all predicated on the mispronunciation by Americans.
Or Spanish people.
Yeah, that's fine. Have you discovered if it means something?
I don't even want to try and find out.
It sounds like vaguely Scandinavian. Double A.
Like Skagen.
As if it would... You should check with Chicken Wrist and ask him.
You're probably thinking of Malmstrom's, which is like a Scandinavian thing.
Well, I never knew that.
So anyway, there we go. So you can find out all about these guys at Mals. Go check them out. Good guys, lovely watches, and look out for these ones that are about to be released.
And
yes,
Rick,
Ricky.
You know you can actually speak to them in the Scottish Watches Facebook group as well.
You can.
They made it past.
They got the questions right. They know how
to
spell Lego.
Question right.
Yep.
They know how to spell Lego. That's fine. And they let them fast. Mm-hmm. Good. So if you want to go and see these guys, they'll be in there. There'll be more photos of this new watch that's coming out. Do check it out when it comes to the whole funding piece on Kickstarter soon.
Yep. And send us one up and we'll get some reviews done of it. And send them to me, otherwise you'll be waiting a decade.
But if you actually want it worn and then talked about, send it to me. The solution is send to.
Yeah, but Rick, would we ever get them back?
Of course not.
Don't he does listen to the podcast.
Our time is money.
Scottish people run on a different time zone. It's about 10 years behind everybody else.
Oh man, you two, you could be honorary black people, man. We were running black man's time.
We're honorary black people and honorary Swiss people in that we're about 20 years behind the curve in general. It's not that the watch industry isn't racist, it's just that it's 500 years
in the past.
Too late to the party. It'll catch up sooner or later.
But welcome to BMT, like man. Anyway. Welcome to BMT.
BMT. as they say, only you can say that.
Yes.
Yeah, unfortunately.
BMT means there is also a BMT in Scotland. Well, actually, it's not so much Scotland. In religious circles, it's called Baptist Mean Time, which is that all Baptists also turn up for church services 10 minutes later than everybody else. Presbyterians, they're always on time. Baptists, no. Anyway,
wow.
Enough of that. You can find us.
You can find
us at Everything Scottish Watches. Mm-hmm. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, occasionally, YouTube. Check out both YouTube channels. Leave a review on the podcast that you're listening to us on. It's Fiji that folk have been listening to us in particular. Mm-hmm. You know anybody in Fiji? I don't know anybody in Fiji.
No.
You don't even know about Fiji water.
I've never heard of Fiji water. I still think that that's an Urban Dictionary thing that you're trying to
do. No, it's real. It's real. It's real.
Right, okay, that's fine.
Very expensive water.
And if you are also... And we have new listeners from the Falkland Islands. From the Falkland Islands. We did that already.
Kill it.
Oh, Gibraltar. No, it wasn't Falkland Islands. It was Gibraltar. It was that other disputed territory. So welcome to them. That other one of many.
Bailout. Anyway. Bailout.
Yeah. Press the red button. Goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from all of them.
Goodbye.
See you guys.
Thank you. Goodbye. Thank you.